Chapter 22. Already the morning sun is a searing presence, oppressive, like a boot on the back of the neck. Jazz watches Nora stalk the wreckage. She moves through the debris of the caravan like a ghost. Her wailing is done. She spent that time last night, howling and raging. Now she's a gutted thing. Probably thought it couldn't get any worse. Then they saw Brenton. And then they saw Brenton taken away again. Jazz has no idea what any of that means. Mysteries persist. Why is Sloane in scavenger robes? Why did they capture her and Brenton as if they are enemies to the Empire? Why was Brenton here at all? Why did Nima go along with it? And why is the hut now dead? Nothing here, Nora says. Two words she said already half a dozen times. Her raw red eyes search the wreckage, looking for any answer to those questions Jazz keeps in the back of her head.
We should go, Jazz says.
Yes, Nora says. But she continues wandering. She kicks over the smoldering wreckage from a wheel bike. She nudges the elbow of a dust-blown hut slave corpse. Jazz tries to summon her back again, warning her that those turbo lasers are off now, but no telling if they'll remain so.
Nora,
I know.
We have to go. I know. We can get him back. Him and Sloane.
How? Nora asks. That one word spoken louder than all the others. The word rough-edged with sorrow, desperation, and anger. We don't know where they went, or why. We don't have anything, Jazz.
We were close. We were so close. And then just...
She holds up her hand and closes it on open air. Fresh tears threaten to leave new tracks down her dirt-stained cheeks. Jazz doesn't know how to answer. She wants to offer hope, but that's not really her thing. Jazz doesn't want to lie. Losing Sloane and Brenton like that means hope is fading fast. Then, a gassy belch erupts as the hot carcass rolls over. Nora cries out. So does Jazz, startled as she staggers backward, hissing an old Iridonian curse. She raises her rifle, pointing it at the slug. Nima paws at the ground, struggling to get up. Dark blood oozes from holes in her body in gummy runnels and rivulets. She gurgles in some old form of Huttese.
Nima Zebrak, Nora, my uncle.
The body rights itself, then slithers over the carcasses of her slaves. Every movement draws a grunt of anguish from the slithering worm. Nora throws Jazz a panicked look. In it, the message.
What do we do?
Jazz gives an alarmed shrug.
Let's let this play out.
Finally, the hut seems to find what she's looking for. She scoops up a black box off the ground. It looks to be a translator device. With a leathery mitt, Nima slaps the box against her chest. It sticks to the dry, slimy blood. Again, she bellows in Huttese, but this time, the box offers a staticky, grinding translation.
You, the Zebrak, you are in my dungeon.
Jazz keeps the rifle pointed.
That's right.
And yet now you are here.
That's also true.
I should kill and eat you.
The hut's black tongue slides along her slitted mouth. Her one eye winks reflexively as a little river of fresh blood trickles into it.
I don't think you're in much of a position for that.
The slug regards herself. Then she looks to the corpses around her. Her worm body visibly slumps in a non-committal shrug.
Yes, you may be right. You help me, and I will help you.
Jazz and Nora consult in an unspoken look. Nora gives Jazz a small nod.
Okay, then.
Jazz injects a little deference into her voice when she says,
What do you need, oh great and powerful Nima?
Take me to my temple.
And what do we get out of the exchange?
I can get you clearance codes.
We have codes already.
Not to the Imperial base, you don't.
Well, that answers that. Jazz nods.
Nora, go get the shuttle. Let's take Nima home.